This is CliffCentral.com.
Jess Glynn and I'll Be There.
Never be alone, I'll be there for you.
It's a nice song. Oh, you like it too?
Obsessed with it.
All right. Well, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news we need to pay attention to this morning. This is probably the funniest thing I've seen in a long time. You know Tracy Ullman, the comedian? She does these sketch shows. Mm-hmm. And she did this one for the Overly Woke Support Group. I don't know if you've seen it, but... You know, there's this whole thing going on of everybody's woke, which means that they're so aware of everybody else and political correctness and everything that it kind of removes the humor from situations. So take a listen to this. This is Tracy Ullman's, really, she's just having a go at overly woke people. Listen to this. So this is her sketch.
Okay, right? Everyone, welcome. This support group is for people who are so woke that they are finding it impossible to have any fun at all. We have somebody new with us this week, so would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Oscar. I think like a lot of you guys, for me it started with the little things. Signing an online petition, going to a march. Well, I mean, before I knew it, I was writing to The Guardian about LGBT representation in the Harry Potter books.
Which is shocking, by the way.
All right, Lily. We've all read your blog. Don't worry, Oscar. You've come to the right place. All of the young people in this room are ruining their lives by being overly virtuous.
That's actually a microaggression to say young people, because it carries subconscious bias towards the elderly.
Actually, what you're doing is denying agency to the elderly, which is arguably much worse.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You see, it's a slippery slope. One minute you're carrying a reusable water bottle, fine, and the next minute you're arguing that water is racist.
Oh my God, is water racist?
No, no, it's just an example. Right, how did you guys get on with the homework that I set you?
Guys isn't an especially inclusive term.
Not now, Jamie.
By homework, do you mean having to watch that old people sitcom?
It's called Friends, Lily, and you were supposed to watch it and enjoy it.
Well, I try, but I find it deeply problematic.
Why?
Well, there's the homophobia, the transphobia, the fatism and the slut-shaming, and could Chandler be any more annoying?
You can't go through your 20s worrying about every aspect of everything. You have to pick your battles. And just remember that it doesn't really matter, because by the time you hit your 30s, most of you are going to be massively right-wing anyway. Have any of you started to think that maybe poor people don't deserve benefits?
No.
Well, watch out for that one, because that's how it starts. Look, I understand this has all been a bit much for some of you, so let's take five and have a hobnob.
I find the word hobnob very phallocentric.
Fuck off, Jamie.
Phallocentric.
So I thought that was quite funny, and I was sent the clip by a lot of people. And then there's this dude who, you know, we often... We have some fun at the expense of millennials, but this is a DJ. Actually, Sia sent me this clip. You know how everybody wants to be a DJ these days? Poppy,
everybody,
you must bump into people all the time.
Body and their mother.
Yeah, and really, being a DJ is the dumbest possible... It's not even a career choice. It's like, it's just... it's. You're admitting that you're a complete fucking waste of space.
Oh.
Really, everyone is a... You know what a DJ is? It ranges from those superstar guys like Calvin Harris that you see on the stage with like 40,000 people in a... like bouncing throng in front of him, and it's just chaos and it's fun and it's madness and you think it's the best party ever, to the guy at the wedding wearing the button-up shirt who looks like a waiter playing Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
Would you rather that guy be a waiter pissing into soup then?
Well, I don't know that being a DJ is a very, you know, some people think
it's better than doing crime and molesting children, Gareth.
Of course it is.
So horrible about people.
But what? It's not a career. You cannot be a DJ and earn a living. Very few people can. It's like being an actor and earning a living. 2% of the top 2% ever make enough money to become a DJ.
I'd still rather be the DJ than a politician.
No, right. No, fair enough. So listen to this. Here's a guy who's just decided to become a DJ, and I bet you'll recognize some of your friends in this.
I'm a DJ now. I just got to figure out a DJ name. Your guys and maybe Funky Muniz? I might just go with Jesus. It's not taken, right? I'm working on my first single. I just have this feeling about it. I think it's going to kind of change the landscape of EDM. I feel like I should play some... I don't know, it's not ready yet. Maybe I could explain it to you. It's kind of cerebral. It would be like... if you can kind of put all those together in your mind, it would... It's kind of like a melodramatic electro-funk feel with jam band progressions and synth undertones. If the Beatles never went mainstream, it's like if Bjork wasn't from Iceland. Like if Deadmau5 were to finally sample Sean Kingston. Kind of like if there was one Chainsmoker, which would probably be better for all of us. Like, it's just crazy how much your life can change in a year. Here I am right now, and in a year from now, I'll be preparing for my first EDC.
Yeah, there we go.
Streaming.
So, I mean, the entertainment business doesn't need more people. It's the one that's got people lined up around the block, and most of them will never get work. Go and get a real job. Okay, it's over for you. Just go, stop it.
But you have to say there's something remarkable about seeing someone. Oh, you're already rolling your eyes.
I'm going to try and hold on to my viewpoint here.
I think there's something amazing about seeing someone in the entertainment industry who's truly passionate about what they're doing, and their passionate equates to their amazing talent. You know, some people are just born for the stage, and you watch their mood.
Cash me outside, how about that?
No, definitely not. What's her name? Bad bitch, baddie bitch. No, not her.
That's who I'm thinking of. When I think of people who want to get into the entertainment business, I think of Cash Me Outside, how about
your bar's set very low then. If you see Michael Jackson at the Motown 30-year celebration, and that was the first time he moonwalked across the stage. Come on, imagine Michael the accountant. Not going to happen.
Duncan in London says, Gareth, do you and Sia want to come to my house in London for a braai when you come here? I do halloumi cheese and salad for Sia, ribeye for you. That's a flip trip, Brandy. Duncan, you know what? I'd like our relationship to remain like it is.
Oh. Ouch.
Duncan, please email us and I'll organize something.
Maybe not
for
a braai
you.
At your house, but
why are you guys assuming the worst about Duncan?
No,
why
we're
do you
just
think
saying it's a bit personal.
Yeah, we don't know.
Also, guys, London, have you seen some of the houses there? Duncan, what do you do? Can we burn out first?
Yeah, let's find out how much money you have, Duncan. You probably can't. There's probably not enough room in your house if Sia and I both arrive at the same time. Let's find out.
Suitcase of moisturizer.
No sprays for Sia's pepper spray on his hip.
All right.
Duncan, email us. We're doing a bunch of things. Let's
get into some news in a minute. And let me just remind you, Change Matters is a new podcast series we've just recently launched with Ruda Landman. It's a podcast series where well-known South African personalities talk about change in their lives. In the series, we cover career moves, children, relationships, changes to education, how mentors can change your attitude, and the changes South Africa's gone through since 1994. Change Matters with Ruda Landman is made just for you by BrightRock, provider of the first needs-matched life insurance. The changes as your life changes. Episode 2 launches today, and you can go and listen to it on cliffcentral.com. Becoming a parent is one of the most life-altering experiences for the same reasons that you're obviously thinking about this. It's a welcome occasion, but for others it's very scary. Hear all about the changes that children bring in conversations that Ruda has with guests. Tracy Engelbrecht, former teen mom blogger and author of The Girl Who Couldn't Say No. Joanne Strauss, former South Africa entrepreneur and media executive, rapper and producer Proverb. Professor Jonathan Janssen, actress, presenter and author Bonnie Mbuli. And Graham Richards, Dr. Garth Jaffet. Oh yeah, it's all happening. You need to go along and listen to this incredible episode about children and change with Ruda Landman on cliffcentral.com. It's called Change Matters. You'll find it on our website.
That's amazing.
Sounds good, right?
Yeah,
it's some good content. Go and take a listen. Particularly if you're one of those people who is either thinking about having children, or there are already children, or there are children on the way, and you want to know how you're going to cope with that change, you may as well listen to other people's stories. Short circuit some of the learning. All right. Sia found a story about two people who were at school together, and they made a pact. Now, if this sounds familiar, I don't know that there's anybody who hasn't thought about this or made some kind of vague promise to someone when they were at school. You know, if we get to 40 or 50 years old and we're still not married and we're all on our own, then let's get together. How many people actually go through with it, though?
Yeah, I don't know. Life hopefully happens for people that have to do this.
So what happened?
No, you don't understand. That's the point. So here's what I'm thinking, and here's what's been my experience is that you actually want the other person, but at the moment you can't like say. So you're saying in 5 years time, do you know what I mean?
If like we're both,
yes, because that's what happened in my case, except my guy died.
He died?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, puppy, you really are alone.
Oh, no.
You're...
Oh,
it's
so
it's sad, oh, and we really liked each other.
What happened to him?
He, it was a weird story, man. He just was at a bar one night, and they just found his car randomly crashed into like a ditch.
Oh my goodness!
Stop it, and that was it. But I promise you, we were like 3 years away from our pact.
You would have had to cash in, huh?
Dude, I would have Portuguese kids right now.
Was he quite rich or were you richer? Who would it have benefited more?
Not Gareth.
I need to...
Who had more money in the bank, puppy?
At the time, me, but I'm sure if...
He would have scored.
yeah, so yeah, anyways.
You would have had like beautiful Portuguese and puppy children. I'm just trying to imagine what they would look like.
Like they'd Ronaldo. Probably,
like Ronaldo. Like Cristiano Ronaldo, yeah.
So the lesson there is, if you really...
True.
Yeah, if you
don't choose someone who's going to die.
Wow. Okay. Well, anyway, I really... about the story, I don't know whether to go. I'm so right. Swiftly
so
moving
what's
on.
So what's the story we've got here? This is an actual life.
Absolutely, story. Yeah. I don't know whether to go, oh, this is so sweet, or, oh, this is kind of sad. But they were high school sweethearts who end up breaking up just because they say life got in their way. They're from the United States. Her name is Kimberly Dean, and his name is Ron Palmer. And life just happened. They went their own separate ways, but they kept in contact. They say they used to speak like every 6 months. Mm-hmm. And in a joking way, it would be like, oh, remember what we said in high school? Because
yes.
Kimberly went on, she got married, she had kids and ended up getting a divorce. And Ron got married, had no kids and ended up getting a divorce. And most recently, it was back in 2016, in one of their catch-up calls, Ron actually said, yo, you're about to hit 50 soon. And remember this pact of ours? We're both now divorced. Why not? Let's make it happen. So from 2016, they started actively dating. And when Kimberly turned 50, he popped the question and they are now officially together.
That's so sweet. Come on, that's cute. You know, even though these two look like old leathery turtles.
They do.
They look horrendous. But you know what? They're happy together and they found each other after 50 years and made a pact. And that's nice.
Sure.
Why not?
I found it.
I think you can find happiness at any age. Maybe they're
Absolutely.
Meant to be, you know. Like Poppy says, when you make these pledges when you're at school, it's mainly because you're too nervous the person's going to reject you or the
exactly.
timing is wrong or whatever.
You just want them in the vicinity.
Well, you probably just want them, full stop. But you don't know how to deal with that because you're too emotionally immature or you think it's too early.
You just don't want the rejection of, hey... Right here, right now.
Mm. And then at 50, maybe you're ready for each other.
At 50, you're desperate.
You think it's desperation?
Yes.
You don't think it's... Because they've had their... Like in both cases, they were married already. They
True.
Had their other
they've
loves.
They've kissed the frogs.
Oh, they've,
yeah.
Now they are the frogs.
Sometimes...
Hey, sure. You should have shown me the photo of them. That's
yeah.
What?
Yeah, look, I mean, it sounds like a great story until you see the picture because.
No, guys,
yeah, exactly. It is a great story.
For 51 and 54, I think they're just your average couple.
Yeah, all right.
What's wrong
have
with them?
Have you seen Bridget Nielsen? She don't look like that.
Bridget Nielsen.
She's 54.
Did you guys hear about the 54-year-old who just gave birth?
What?
That's who Bridget Nielsen is.
Fifth child. Yeah,
yes.
That's going to be me.
Just tell me, what happened here?
Bridget Nielsen.
As in the actress?
Yes.
Wow.
She, over the weekend, gave birth to her first daughter and her fifth child.
To her fifth husband as well.
I can
by the way. Yeah.
She looks pretty damn good for her age.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, she's 54 years old. She was originally, wasn't she in a James Bond movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
And Rocky as well. She was
Adrian?
Tall. I don't know which character. I just remember seeing a picture of
her. She's not a bad looking woman.
She's the tall one with the blonde hair. You know, for me, it's not about the looks. It's
she was Adrian. You're right.
Yeah.
Was she? Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
But for 54, man, and 54 isn't croaky old, but 54, you enjoy certain things in
life.
She looks
like, she looks like Pink will look in another 20 years.
You're right.
Actually.
You're right. This is Mama Pink.
Mm-hmm.
You're so right. Yeah, 54, you now have to bend over and pick up kids, and you have to walk in your lounge and you find pieces of Lego.
Mm-mm. Her husband is about
39.
A head shorter than her.
Oh, Lord.
And he's 39. His name is Mattia Desi. He's a short little Italian dude.
This is some Macron-ish.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Emmanuel Macron and his
some Macron-ish. Yeah, because Macron is the guy who married his school teacher, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's got a sugar mama. He's a Ben 10 for her. Look, Brigitte Nielsen, I would say, you know, for a 54-year-old, she's not a bad-looking woman. You know, I don't really discriminate in that basis. But she's a fine-looking woman. She just has to bend down every time to do a photo together because she's much taller than him.
Let's be honest. 5 kids later, you've been bending.
Okay. Okay, girl.
He's very short compared to her. Mm. Very short.
But she's been around the block. She's even dated Flavor Flav at a point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone knows that. That was like the heyday for
Flavor Flav.
Wasn't that when he had this reality TV show?
Flavor of Love.
He used to wear those clocks.
But guys, that's recent.
Flavor Flav used to wear those clocks around his neck. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Like the wall clock with a chain.
Yes. Flavor Flav.
And it was more than him.
Wow. All right, well, you know, good for her and good for that couple who got married at 50. That's cool. I think whatever you find happiness, however you find happiness, good for you.
Mm.
No one should be unhappy forever. And if you have been looking for that elusive love and it's taken you 50 years, imagine how sweet the taste.
How old will Bridget be when, like, her kid leaves the house?
She just gave birth at 54.
She'll be 72.
There are women in their 30s and 40s all over the world who are going, yes, it's possible.
You're right.
And then there's some...
Because I've always thought the most unfair thing in the universe is that women have this biological clock.
Yep.
Because guys can have a kid whenever, you know. Just have a kid. Not a big deal. Women have this thing that sits on their shoulder from about 25 and goes, you've got to be running out of time, precious.
A clock as big as Flavor Flav.
And we really are running out of time.
Like Flavor Flav. It's strapped to their neck and the clock goes tick, 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 tick. And they're going, oh, shit, I'm approaching 30. Oh, I'm approaching 40. Oh, it's too late. And here's Bridget Nielsen, Brigitte Nielsen. She's having a kid at 54. There's hope.
There is.
There is hope and you don't have to be in a hurry.
You must freeze your eggs, though.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could end up with old-ass eggs and then, you know, it could be problems.
No one wants old eggs.
No.
You want to talk penises?
Oh, of course. Yes, go ahead.
Who's got the biggest penises in the World Cup?
You mean of the
Nigeria.
Team?
Nigeria.
That's what I would have said, but research says differently.
Or Colombia.
Colombia, there we go. Colombia.
Have they measured these guys?
Well, then
you can see when they're running, Gareth.
Yeah, FIFA hasn't measured them as they walk in the field, but there is research into
Imagine
it that
FIFA
says
did an official penis measuring for each team.
Colombia has the biggest penises in the World Cup.
I can believe that.
Yeah.
Okay, so based on what?
Well, their penises, Gareth.
No. What I mean is Poppy's
measuring.
Poppy's evidence is conjectural. She's watching them running around in the field. She's watching it swish around from side to side in the shorts.
Stop.
But that's not evidence.
It's look, there are these studies that go on, averages of things, and averages of penises have been tabulated over many, many years.
Oh, so they've got an average for each country.
Yeah.
And this has got nothing to do with football. We don't know for a fact that the football team is...
Well, we're taking an average here that the guys with the biggest penises in the World Cup are the Colombian team.
All right.
I never would have thought that.
Colombian?
Straight away, I was going to go Nigeria, Senegal. No, nope, that's Colombia. The smallest?
Don't know.
Smallest penises in the world.
Somewhere in Asia. No, I wouldn't say Asia. I would say Spain.
Spain.
Spain are slightly bigger than the Saudis, slightly smaller than the English.
Saudi.
So who are the biggest? The biggest of Colombia, then
the smallest.
Smallest would be
English.
I think it's going to be South Korea.
So close, Gareth. Second last. No, it is the Asians. It's always the Asians with the small penis.
Shame,
Japan.
Guys.
Japan. Japan.
Smallest penises in the group.
Oh my God.
Japan.
That's why that song exists, because they're literally big in Japan and nowhere else in the world.
All right.
Wow. Another surprise, you might think Iceland.
Yes.
Yeah. Panama, really up there with the big swingers.
Mm-hmm.
What is Anthea's phrase yesterday?
BSDs.
BSDs.
Yep, the podium of BSDs in the World Cup. Colombia, Iceland, Panama.
Oh, what? Good for you.
Yeah, and where's Nigeria?
Nigeria are just behind the Scandinavians.
No, so, no. No.
Who's working this out?
Yeah, I don't know.
One Nigerian guy is that entire team.
One Nigerian guy is the entire Japanese team.
What's the average? Do we know the length?
Why is it still okay for us to discriminate on penis size when it comes to races, but it's not okay for us to do anything? You know, why is that?
We're not that woke.
No, you understand. Like, it's still okay for people to say, well, black men have big penises and Asian men have small ones. But if you said that about any other thing, you'd be a full-on racist. Do you know what I mean?
Black men have...
Try any other category. Any other category, you'd be in trouble. Anything else.
This has
got
me shook. I don't think I'm going to marry a black man now.
Why?
How? These stats.
So you were all hell-bent on black guys, but now the Scandinavians might be bigger.
Hey.
Well, the Scandinavians are in very cold weather. Very cold weather.
So it should be contracting.
Exactly, but they're not. So just imagine if they had lived closer to the equator, what they'd be packing.
Wake up, white people.
Ben, what's the Colombian average?
Well, yeah. Now that you asked a personal question. The Colombian average is around 17.03 centimeters.
17.
Yeah.
Sweet Jesus.
Someone give me all right.
Do I need a visa to go to Colombia?
Basically, Poppy, it's your iPad.
Colombia.
No. Can I tell you something? You just went like a Nigerian like a Nigerian guy. I'm going to put this in your I want to show you You did.
Wow,
there we are.
So if you're working on an iPad today, that's basically the length of a Colombian.
Just now.
You're talking about
take it all in.
You're talking about the width of the iPad, not length. The length.
No, like the length. That's about 17 centimeters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, probably about 20.
Sure. Well, there's something to think about. Everyone who's got an iPad, and not an iPad mini, by the way.
Yeah.
Full-size iPad.
One would assume your standard keyboard, laptop keyboard, is 30 centimeters, right?
No, that's also about...
20, 25.
That's about 22 centimeters.
Oh, so that's almost Colombian average.
Wow. Colombians.
Where did Colombia get ahead like this? They were never in the rankings before. They
I'm
just
surprises you all, Gareth.
They've just upped their game, huh?
No wonder they got so many fans following them around.
Mm-hmm. And Colombia are about to end up top of their group as well.
Oh, it's the big game against Senegal tomorrow.
Sure, Senegal. You see? Again,
you would have thought Senegal.
Shook.
I would have thought Senegal. Where do they fit in the rankings?
Not even in the top five.
Wow.
No way. That's got to be wrong.
Look, I'm pretty sure if Ghana were in here, I reckon they would be up there.
You reckon?
Okay.
Maybe there's something I should put more research into.
I think so, but thank you, Ben. Who would have guessed? What a way to start your morning. Now you know the biggest penises in the Football World Cup.
My ass is wow the fuck out.
Okay, everybody calm down.
That's after a visit to Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just to confirm, that wasn't a FIFA sanctioned list.
Oh, my gosh.
Because FIFA have to...
FIFA have been way too busy pulling down illegal,
Oh, yeah.
Listen, on the internet.
Big news. Olwen sent me an email yesterday, and Joseph Jackson, Michael Jackson's father, has broken his silence. He sent a cryptic message on social media. He put up a tweet, his official blue-ticked Twitter account, saying, "I have seen more sunsets than I have left to see. The sun rises when the time comes, and whether you like it or not, the sun sets when the time comes." People are saying this means Joseph Jackson is on his way out. A lot of people have been speculating that he had pancreatic cancer.
Shame.
And he's on the line right now.
Oh.
Talk to us. Joseph Jackson. Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
I'm okay. Who that over there? Who are you speaking to?
It's Gareth.
Who else is there? Is there a woman I can talk to?
Puppy, that's for you. Yeah, Mr. Jackson would like to call in to you.
Hello?
Hi, Papa Joe.
How are you?
I'm amazing. How are you?
Oh, you sound very pretty. I like the sound of your voice.
Thank you.
Have you heard of Blu-ray Records?
I have.
My record company.
Not.
I have got all the rights to Michael's songs.
Now I have.
Woo! Make a lot of money before I die.
Mr. Jackson, you sound very...
I'm very happy.
Happy and don't healthy you worry and alive.
About me. No, everybody's reading that tweet. They're going, he's going to die. I'm not going to die. I've got enough Michael Jackson money here to keep me alive for another 50 years.
Wow.
Jeez.
And don't you worry. I used to say to Michael and his brothers, I would say to them, you come here, boys, you pick up the bricks on this side of the road, you take them over to that side of the road, and then you bring them back again by afternoon.
Okay.
And that's what gave them the discipline to become the great artists they have become. Well, at least one of them.
Oh.
Don't worry so much about Jermaine.
Oh, okay.
Or Tito. Or Marlon. Or Jackie.
Jermaine is actually the one speaking out on you, Mr. Jackson.
Rebbe.
Oh, okay.
Or any of the others. But it's really just Michael. Okay, fine. It was just Michael. Everybody
Janet?
Else a bit of a failure. Janet's okay, but she don't talk to us no more. She married that billionaire prince. She don't need the Jackson family name, you know. She now called Allahu Akbar or something.
Wow.
She doing well. I always thought Janet was the best looking of my children. And it turned out I was right. I'm always right.
She is the best looking.
Okay.
Mr. Joe,
Jackson is fine.
Joe, are you battling pancreatic cancer? Do you want to level with us, please?
Well, I have many terrible. If anybody wants to buy records, you could help me fight cancer with your money.
Wow.
But you got to help buy a lot of records. I don't mean to pressure anybody. I don't want to manipulate anybody. But if you buy 10 records, I'll give them to you for the price of 8. And then you can help me fight the cancer.
Oh.
Jeez.
Well, you know, any way we can help, because you have made the world a better place, you and your family, and you've really shared a lot of talent with us through the Jacksons.
I remember Michael once said to me, he was in the studio with Quincy Jones. He said, "Oh, Daddy, I'm so tired. You've been working me 18 hours. I've been singing the same line over and over again. And Man in the Mirror, can I not take a break now?" And I said to him, I said, "Michael, you goddamn deliver that line. I'm going to beat you again."
Joe, you got to calm down. At your age, it's not good for you to be talking like this. You're very aggressive, you know? And we're sorry to hear about this cancer. I'm really very sorry. I hope you will get better, and it will have you for many more years. I don't know what you're going to be doing, but you'll
tweeting,
be around.
Tweeting.
Tweeting, that's right. So good luck, Mr. Jackson. We're obviously big fans, and we wish you well.
Well, thank you very much. Would you like to come to my house and move the bricks from one side of the yard to the other side of the yard?
They still haven't been moved.
No. After all these years, I gotta let him go. All right, thank you, Joe. But there we go. Alwyn, thank you for the update. Joe Jackson, he's very isolated at the moment. He has told all of his children to stay out of his life.
Oh, no.
Yeah, desperate pleas from his manager. Family members have not been able to get access to him.
Liz, the wife, the mom.
They divorced, remember?
Oh.
Last time they were together, they were attending Michael's trial, where he
Jeez,
was.
That was
the last time they kind of spent any time together. A source close to Joe's daughter, superstar singer Janet, 52, confirmed that she too had been denied access to see her father in recent days. And his 43-year-old daughter, Giovanni Jackson, has also been barred from seeing her dad, despite being very close to him and living nearby in Vegas.
Jeez.
So they're all kept away from him. Joe's son Jermaine revealed no one knew what was going on. We shouldn't have to beg, plead, and argue to see our own father, especially at a time like this.
I don't understand why they don't just go to his house.
Yeah, his health is deteriorating. After a brief visit, the women spent a night in a nearby hotel before returning to discover Joe had been moved from his home. They really are keeping him away from his family.
Shit.
It's probably for their own good if you listen to that call we just got from him now. You know, he's a cranky old bastard.
And random Michael Jackson notes, yesterday was 9 years since Michael died. That doesn't, it's crazy it
doesn't
that
feel
it's
like
that long.
9 years. Yeah. Man. Wow. Apparently, they are acting in his interests. That's what the family say. The Jackson family does not have the capacity to deal with this on their own. So certain people are taking charge of the situation. It is delicate and not black and white as people making it out. Don't matter if you're black or white. Anyway, so obviously we are.
Got into that.
I'm a big fan of Joe Jackson. I do believe if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have had Michael.
True.
Someone had to screw that kid up for him to be such a genius. And look at how we've benefited from it. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for being such a shitty dad. Because without you being a shitty dad, we wouldn't have had Michael.
That's one way to look
if
at it.
If he'd been a kind, caring father who actually thought about his kids all the time, Michael would have been well-rounded. He would have had a childhood. He would have been normal. And we would never have had Billie Jean. So occasionally, it's a really useful thing to take a moment to think about Joe and the contribution he made by beating his child.
That informed Beat It, Michael's
correct,
song.
Correct. Yes. What would we have done without that? So thank you, Joe. There's a word of real sincere gratitude from me. All right, rising star of South African comedy, Alfred Adrian is going to deliver his solo debut special, which is called Dating Life, at the Peter Tureen Theatre at Monte Cassino from June 27, 2018. I was like meeting fresh comedians. They come out here, they've got great ideas, and he is going to be on from tomorrow until Saturday. And he's got a matinee on Saturday, Sunday matinee at 3 o'clock, and you can book now at Compy Ticket. It carries on. And when does the show end? When do you actually stop?
It's the 8th of July.
Okay, so you've got a whole 2 weeks to fill here, man.
Yeah.
Scary.
I know.
How are you, dude?
I'm good, man. And I agree. You must beat these children.
Oh.
Beat them under the feet so that no one can see the family. When they go, why isn't he walking bunions? Beat him. That's how you get Thriller, my friend, I promise you. In Australia, they're not eating children, and they don't give them peanuts. I don't know what the world is coming to.
Well, you know, this is there are a lot of different forms of...
we could have vegans,
of parenting. Gareth. You're not a parent, are you?
I am.
You are? Oh.
I'm starting. I can't wait. He's 2 months old.
God,
they say you can start eating at three.
Your poor child.
Oh. Yeah, I'm eating. I'm eating, my friend. I say, in Australia, I said I was going to eat. They were... They looked... Me and John, it's the first time I get more of a response than John. They were terrified. I was like, yeah, you must beat them. Beat. Those Australians would be like, what?
When were you in Oz?
That was like 2 weeks ago. Three, 4 weeks
ago. And they were scared of you?
Yeah, I know. They were a bit nervous. You know, that's an awkward laugh into a good laugh. It was weird for the first 2 days, but I was like, I'm sticking to my guns. Because they have like, you can't take peanuts to a school. It's illegal for you. I'm like, how are kids going to come in and massacre everyone now? With peanut dust. I would
Because we used to throw peanuts at each other. We used to play some dangerous games during break time as well, and they would never allow that in Australia.
No.
Australia is so... It's like a... old age home for young people and old people alike, and it's all like white people and their rules.
It's very ruley. And I was thinking to myself, here in South Africa, we feed our kids peanut butter at school, like for the feeding scheme.
Right.
There it's illegal. The guys, I was in the car and one of the doors were open and I just went like, you know, just like quickly. The chick lost it. She said, please don't do that ever again.
Why?
You must stop before you... I'm like, it's just... No, it's illegal. Oh, and stopping and there's no one. It's in the middle of the night. We're standing and there's no cars. I'm like, why can't we just...
If they think you've had too much to drink at a bar in Australia, they will not serve you.
Yes.
The bartender goes, oh, I'm sorry. You look like you're too drunk.
How many have you had? I've had that. And then at 12, there's a lock-off rule. So like if you leave, say for example, oh no, see, you want to go and get your jacket. It's a bit nippy out on the deck, or out of the bar. You leave at 12. It's 1 minute past 12. Sorry, buddy. You can't come back here.
I mean...
Mm-hmm.
Lockout rule.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
They've got rules for everything. So aren't you glad you don't live there? But what was it like? Did it go well?
It went very well. It was fun. The one thing they do have is money. So like we don't struggle to sell tickets. Like they'll see you at a showcase. Like you'll do 5-10 minutes, and they'll go, that looks interesting. and then you'll sell 70% as an absolutely unknown act because they've got such a theater culture and
yeah, so they support,
disposable income.
Yeah, and they want to be entertained.
Yeah, we are fine. Yeah, our people really want to come, but like sometimes it's just difficult,
they're
man.
They're poor, man.
Yeah, we're struggling.
Well, listen, is it a comedy thing generally at the moment that people are pushed for cash? They don't really have a lot of disposable income for entertainment?
I think it's across the board. I think the smaller the act, the more you struggle. But I think, for example, I'm not just competing with other comedians for the show. Mm. And I don't like to think about it as competing, but that Whitney Houston lady who's also
from
PE.
She was here the other day.
So yes, she's lovely. I'm competing with that because there's only one ticket for the month. You know what I mean? She's not. No one. They're not going to go, I'm going to go to that and then I'm going
and
to
that. And also you're at Monte Cassino with this show, which means that you're competing with gambling.
Yeah,
you're competing
are.
With dinner.
Yeah.
You're competing with the show that's on at that teatro. I don't know what it is.
There's
that they've got
Avenue Q.
What?
We're also friends of mine.
So now you have to...
You have to hustle and try and make it work.
Are you nervous or do you think this thing's going to sell out well?
I'm lucky to be new and have not the highest expectations. I sort of went into it.
A bit of naivety is not
a bad
thing.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. I went into it going, okay. So most comedians, I don't know if you guys know this. You guys have been in entertainment. First of all, I agree with you. We need stop. We don't need more comedians either.
Uh-huh.
Oversupply, we don't. We don't. No. Especially when Trevor went on TV, everyone thought you were a comedian that Tuesday. Everyone and their cousin came too, and the cousin saw them on stage and they went, oh, I also want to be on stage.
Yeah,
it was like we went from 80 like 10 or 12 open spots to 120. Joe Parker couldn't you had to wait 3 months to get an open
and
spot.
And we didn't need all these comedians.
We don't. They, you know how many terrible fucking, sorry for
no,
my
no,
French.
No, you can say
there's a lot of shit comedians out there.
Yes.
No, in fact, let's it's go let's mentioning. Be blunt here. Maybe 2% of them are great.
There we go. There's a statistic.
Ah, guys.
Maybe just, and it's
no,
facts.
You know what? I'm very pleased that you brought this up because, it's hard. Comedy, I've always said, Alfred, is the most difficult thing to do because you're up there, and if the audience don't like you, they let you know.
Oh, immediately.
If Poppy goes up and she does a pirouette and she's doing ballet and she doesn't necessarily land beautifully and perfectly and 100% on the mark that she wanted to. The audience in a ballet are not going to go, fuck you! Get off the stage!
Nope.
You're useless! Get away from here! You shitty half cripple! What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
But if you do a bad comedy act,
they let you
know.
From the get-go. I've seen guys being thrown with
hostile,
beer bottles.
Yeah, hostile crowds. Huh?
Yeah, it's rough. I used to do gigs in Boxburg. I was going to follow this other Oki. Johannes, I'll never forget it. Yes, so young. Johannes wordt gegooid met een beer bottle, papa. Sure. And then I was like, and then they go, ladies and gentlemen, next act, Alfred Hagen.
They pull him off on a
stretcher.
Then
I made fun of him and then it saved me because I could feel they were now beer bottle ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's a rough thing.
And the other thing about comedy, too, is it's very competitive. I mean, in South Africa, we do have comedians mostly get along and you guys are all kind of a big family. And that's true, but you're also competing with each other.
Yes.
And...
absolutely, it's a polar bear sport.
And sometimes you're genuinely nice to each other off stage, but once you're on stage,
we're on our own.
Gloves are off, right?
Absolutely, it's a polar bear thing. It's like John says. John says this all the time, and he's 100% right. We can goombaya, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to sell tickets. I'm trying to be the best I can be. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for you.
Are you? You're represented by John's company, WAC?
Yes, I am. I've been friends with him for a while. They've been really cool to me. So
and
they
do the
too.
Right thing in terms of getting you publicity and
absolutely.
Marketing.
I mean, I get to come to shows like this where I wouldn't normally get a shot because of your representation. It's the same thing, and this is global. Like Loy Gola right now, he's with Mick Perrin. He's the same guy that used to be with Trevor, and that's when Trevor started going boom overseas.
Yeah.
So it was about the representation because they know that those representatives only deal with the best new artists. It's
and you can't do it on your own.
No, you can't.
If you take it seriously, if it's going to become a proper career that's going to earn you money and you'll be able to dedicate yourself to it, you can't do it on your own. You have to have people to help you. You can't do the marketing and the material and then go on the road and all of that stuff.
And in the beginning,
you
actually do a little bit of everything. And the better or bigger you get, I'm a firm believer in get people that know what they're doing to get, because you have no idea. Mm. You have to pick up all that learning still before you can execute properly. Do so, what you do.
So
well,
where did you start?
I was a BCom student. I did that. I went the other way around. Mm-hmm. I got myself a proper job and then left. I was a BCom student, did a marketing job. I was like for a big cosmetics company in South Africa. Well,
cosmetics company?
Yeah, I worked for. I brought in lipstick. The only reason there's a coral lipstick in one of the very big brands is because my mom wanted it.
Oh,
I was
really?
Like, mommy, I'm bringing it in.
that's nice of you.
Yeah, yeah.
You made a difference.
Son of the year.
Auntie wanted a coral. I was like, it goes well.
Yes.
So I was in there for 10 years. And then in the middle there, I've always wanted to try my hand at it. I was like, used to in Port Elizabeth. I'm from Hanky. But like,
that's terrible.
That was from PE. I mean, it's not even Mark.
Like, Hanky doesn't even sound like a real place.
I know. I get this every day.
Who named it that? That's just cruel.
Hanky?
Because the people who come from Hanky. I mean, it's just, what a cuck thing to have to tell people.
I don't know.
It's like saying you're from Centurion.
It's been my claim to fame. My people remember the guy from Hanky before they remember my name.
Okay, but you didn't have one of those situations where people were saying, you're so funny, you must go into comedy. They did.
I did get that.
Okay.
I got that. And I only got that from like high school because I was very shy as a kid. Mm. So you develop a clown to protect yourself.
But that's clown, where all great comedy comes from.
Yeah.
Those guys who, because you could, that was the way you could get laid, is you were funny.
Just try not, I went to public school, Gareth. I just try not to get gemoor.
Right.
Just make a joke so that this bro can forget. He's actually 14 in standard 3. You remember public school where you used to go, these ones are, no, this guy is an adult. My father, he's got beard now. And we are doing basic math. I don't know what's going on here.
We had this family
has to be bullied, boy.
We had this family of Portuguese guys that were at the high school with me, and I swear they must have been in their late 20s.
Oh, God.
Because they were big. They had life experience that the rest of us didn't. I'm telling
you.
They all drove cars from standard 6.
Yeah. You wonder, I don't know. Back in the day, they didn't. Like schooling, it was different. I don't know, like when you were born, but in the early 90s, they didn't get the thing right yet.
Mm-mm.
They were like, they'd let a guy just. There was a guy called Pietrus Matua. I'm naming him. Pietrus is not listening. I promise you, he doesn't have the Wi-Fi. Maybe public Wi-Fi. Anyway, Pietrus used to come to school just for athletics because that was the time of the year he could shine. You know what I mean? He used to outrun all of the kids because they were 5 years younger than him. He's like, okay, from Feb to about March, we're going to do inter schools. I'm going to run there, beat everybody, feel great, and then go back and work. Every year. I promise you, 3-4 years in a row. It's like, but Pietrus, every year it can't count because he can't go to the next leg because he's bloody 17. And he's running against 13-year-olds. We are just steam coming out of my lungs trying to keep up.
Yeah, the 90s were experimental. There was a lot going on. Model C schools.
Oh,
they mixed
don't tell
it up.
Me about it.
It was interesting, dude.
I went from public to Model C, mm-hmm. and that jump. Even though my parents were very good, you know what I mean? They tried their best. We were middle class. So I went from this public school where people were very poor. Like, you know, people came to school for that food. Like the janitor would clean the bathroom and then put peanut butter on and give it to the kids. It was like the feeding scheme, right? To Model C, to where people all of a sudden have sandwiches, you know? Yeah. And then sandwiches, like, it's a culture shock. But you don't want to, you can't say, Yosia, 3 ingredients on that sandwich.
Sure.
I'm here struggling with a pilchard situation. You've got a tinky, you know, every day. I was like, it was a shell shock thing. Yes. And then people also like, it was very good though, because my friends went, I've never had pilchards on my bread before. I was like, have you ever had an onion, my friend? Just once you eat this thing, you need to go and brush your teeth because no girl will touch you for 3-4 years.
Just onion. Nothing but onion, huh?
Onion and pilchards.
Yes. Oh.
Colored mothers make that thing well so that you keep your kids celibate.
Now your show, speaking of celibacy, your show is about dating, is about like trying to get laid. And this is everybody, every man in the world, this is the driving ambition. You want to spend as much of your time succeeding in this as possible and not as much of your time, because there's nothing more frustrating than trying and trying and trying and nothing
and
ever happens.
I talk about all the trying and trying and trying. I talk about the thing I figured out like 3-4 years. Like, I moved to Johannesburg, like, you know, wide-eyed and all the lights and, you know, didn't know how to... Like, you get here and you go, oh, my God, I need to... I can't wear these Dow Jones and the Buckle Bronx anymore. These girls aren't looking at me.
So in other words,
I need to taper the pants.
What worked in Hanky didn't work.
Did not work. Like having a car, any sort of four wheels, even if it didn't drive, would work in Hanky. Yeah, it was a different thing. Like all of a sudden, I found, like, you know what I call unicorns. You know, you start dating beautiful girls. Imagine you, Poppy, beautiful girl.
Right.
But I stopped dating you guys because it was too difficult. The bar was too high and I was too farm. So I found girls just like you, but something slightly wrong with them, like an eye just to the left. It balances out. You know what I mean? It just nicely brings their self-esteem down so you can take it to Debonair's and she's very excited.
She had a bit of a limp.
Yeah, just a bitchy, you
hairy
know, hail damage is what I call them. It's still, the car still drives. The car still drives, but it's just not aesthetically as pleasing. You know?
So what kinds of defects did some of these girls have?
I mean, I loved a wet eye and a runny ear. You know that thing? You remember the runny ear at school? Remember that girl that used to just have wadding in the ears all the time and she was so self-conscious? Oh, I call them low-hanging fruit. It's like clubbing seals. Oh, it was lovely.
And that way you're guaranteed action because she doesn't know when
the
next
man, she's so excited. You know, you can go to those dates and go, entertain me. It's your turn. You know? Who's paying for the bill? I don't know. I've got all my limbs. anyway. You can make those girls carry a case of Coke to the braai. It's fantastic. You don't have to do anything.
And did your family expect big things when you came to Joburg? Were they immediately you're going to come here, you're going to find the perfect woman, you're going to bring home some money, you're going to visit us in Hanky again?
Yes. Listen, my father, also like that generation, they didn't have opportunities. My father was a shopkeeper and my mother was a teacher. And so I came from a pretty decent middle class family.
Sure.
But my dad and them were all about, especially my father, was all about get this education. So when I got a degree, I was the first one in my family to get one, as many of my friends were.
Sure.
So there was a lot of pride behind getting a BCom and then getting your job.
And that's not a Mickey Mouse degree. That's not like
No, I didn't go and play
BA
play.
In female.
No, I did math, you know.
Feminist dance theory. You know?
No, I didn't do, you know, a Technicon or Demolin. Those guys all work at Checkers now. Anyway. we're having fun out here. I only do it like this at Cliff Central. The rest of the time, I'm like, oh, hi, guys, lovely.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys from Damlin waiting outside.
Don't worry, I've dealt with them before.
All right, so you're saying.
So then I sort of did a proper education. So when I came to Johannesburg, it was a sense of pride because I got a medical aid, man. Jeez.
But also a sense of pressure.
Lots of pressure because they also, like, because my parents didn't have traditional sort of day, like corporate jobs, they had it was misrepresented for them. That was there was a disconnect. So they go, but you earning 18,000 rand, like that's more than my mother had earned at the time as a teacher. And then she'd go like, surely. And then she didn't understand life costs and how things would be. So they would expect, and you have black tax, so they'd expect a lot
send
more.
Send some home.
Yeah, send some home, help out with your brother. You need to buy a car. Why do you have so much debt? I'm like, because I have no money, because after rent and the car and the Buckle Bronx, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
You know, when I left, well, I worked my way up to marketing manager. Eventually, I was, you know, that small town drive in me, because I'm that guy that can stick in even if I don't like the thing, which was the worst part of my job. It was like,
I think a lot of people
didn't like it, and I just like driven to do well because of pressure.
Yeah.
Did very well and then found comedy and loved it. And just said to myself, even though I'm in a day job, I'm going to be the hardest working comedian out there right now. So I do, like, I would moonlight myself to death. That's me and you met those days.
Yeah.
I was to moonlight myself to death, go to work in the morning, and just like until comedy took me out. I held onto that lifeboat forever. I always tell people, don't just jump, man. This whole thing of like Gary Vaynerchuk saying, oh, I seize the day. I'm like, no, bruh. You have bills to pay and families to look after.
You can't just leave.
You can't just jump.
No, sure.
Wait until you make enough money that it makes sense. And then when you jump, you're going to hit the cliffs a couple of times.
But that was scary, right?
Very scary.
Making that move because
you have a bond now and you have a car and you've got things and you don't know where the next gig's coming from. And it's tricky.
And also, you must have been exhausted at the time because you were doing both.
Yeah, I know. But it was such a pleasure to do stand-up for me.
Did you neglect your work when you were getting into comedy?
Absolutely. I did Ashwin Willems. So I just walked out one. Isn't they call that now, see it? I went, fuck, you're like, loop. threw the coffee on his desk.
Like, out of it.
I think there was a foot sick in there.
Did that feel good to quit that
job? Yeah, you fantasize about that in a day job.
Everybody
for
does.
For years.
Sure.
He's one day, I'm going to win the lotto. I'm gonna, if South Africa tomorrow, like middle class people just got reparations for some reason. Oh, man, boss is going to get slapped. Eh?
If we knew that there was an asteroid coming to take us all out, people would resign and they'd make it dramatic.
Also, imagine the government gave us each 3 free slaps, litigation-free slaps a year. So I could just slap anybody at any time. People would behave better.
Yes, I agree.
And fucking bosses would be red every day. Pwah! It's out of nowhere in the middle of the meeting face.
That could be a really good way to kind of let some steam off, is that you get 3 litigation-free slaps a year.
You know, there's a lot of guys going, Fani was weer geklapt vandaag. Yes, shame.
I'll tell you what, bosses would treat their employees with more respect.
Absolutely.
People would be nicer to their children and their parents.
The most important, blue-collar workers would get more respect because you don't want to be slapped by a bricklayer. It's a grove clap. Anyway, so it felt very good.
Yes. All right, so when did you start getting the dating thing right? How long did it take you and how much money did you have?
Forever. I still date my wife. It took forever and every cent I have. I've got a wife now and I felt, you know, when you meet your wife and things work out and all of a sudden you have kids, then different shit comes.
What,
so the show stops in like 2/3 in and I start going, I'm married now. And then I tell them about all the shit that happens when you're married. You know what I mean? Like, for example, you can't just have sex when you're married. It's not the same anymore. I used to be able to take her out to dinner. Woo, it's on. Now, fuck, I have to fix something in the house that she didn't ask me to fix.
Yeah, all right.
You know?
To surprise her with.
And it turns them on different. Like, my wife is turned on by different things. Fix a bulb. Woo. I've been breaking shit around the house for weeks, Gary. I fucked up the washing machine this morning. You have to wait. It's like seeds. You plant it. You wait for it to mature. She must be the Murin. Then you put on your high school shorty and you rub yourself down with oil and then you hope for the best.
Oof. That's how you get things started.
All right, let's just talk a bit because you go into some very politically incorrect areas and people don't always like this. And I'm sure it got you into trouble in Australia, but it could also get you into trouble here.
Oh, it's got
like
me into
when you talk about spoiled handicapped children.
Yes. I say it's a simple thing. I had this problem. Poppy, I see you.
Poppy's
I always get this reaction from women. Firstly, because they're more sensitive and got a better moral compass. So what happens is, I used to date a girl. She had a friend. I know you don't like all the fucking friends, but you try, you know?
Yes, sure.
And this chick comes over with her 4-year-old son. That's how it started, this gag, Garrett. Comes over with his 4 years. He's an arsehole, this fucking kid. He's mentally fine. He's just got a leg that's a bit, you know, he's got a mechanical fault. So now, I give this guy flings. I'm a good guy, Poppy. I'm a good guy.
You give him flings.
A fling and an Oros undiluted almost. I mean, he's got a wet fling and he's pushing my TV. I'm like, be grateful. Just shut the fuck up. Say thank you, uncle. He's just fucking running havoc. You know,
it's breaking stuff around.
But I don't know how he climbed up that high to put fingerprints on my mirrors because he's you know, he's got a funny leg.
Oh.
So now he's pushing my TV. So I call the mother because you can't scream at a disabled child. Everyone turns on you. Eh?
Yeah.
I promise you. Hey, yo, fuck. And everyone, who comes? Why? You speaking to the child? No, he's disabled. But he's a naughty fuck because he's entitled and he's spoiled.
Yeah.
So you go to the mother.
He wants, right?
You go to the mother. Yes, you go to the mother. And he's pushing the TV. She goes, stop it, and keeps on downing Chardonnay. So like, fuck this. She looked away and I kicked him. Bang. But don't worry. See ya.
Which leg?
I kicked him in the dead leg. It didn't feel anything. And so, you see the thing. You see what happens. And then they go from that
to
a teenage arsehole that starts swearing. And then when you, imagine a teenage boy walks in here, rugby boy, nothing wrong, slaps you. We go, no, but we're going to clap you quick.
Yeah.
No one here goes, no, everyone goes, yeah, no, he deserved a mooring. But if he walks in here with a little bit of lump, slaps you and I slap him, then everyone goes, he was disabled. Why
That's
didn't
right.
you give him
just
a shot?
Double standards.
You know what happens, right? He becomes that child becomes a teenage spoiled arsehole, becomes an adult spoiled arsehole, shoots his girlfriend through the door. People wonder what happened.
There we go. I'm glad you took it there because that's exactly what happened.
Never
gets corrected. Never corrected.
Never corrected.
Because everybody tiptoes around him because he's got like a physical.
Gareth, don't be insensitive.
I'm
now
with you.
Tiptoe, the guy has no legs. I mean, come on. Yeah.
But
that's exactly it.
There was a kid at school with us, a similar situation. He was he had some kind of physical disability. He was He was mean to everyone. He was mean. He had he would hit you with his crutches.
Yeah.
He would push people out of the way. He was entitled. He was he was mean.
And all he wanted to do was just kick the fucking thing underneath.
Yeah,
him.
Well, you know what? At least you're addressing this. Okay.
So, get into trouble, but...
Awkward sexual encounters, drunk potential parents-in-law.
No, I don't know who wrote that, but... Because my parents-in-law is not drunk at all. But, you know, like, I just talk about interactions with, you know, you inherit people. It's not all your people.
We're just checking.
And she inherits people. I'm sure dealing with my father, my dad is too comfortable too quick, eh?
What do you mean?
My dad loves my wife. Like, he gets along with her, but fuck, man, he's way too comfortable. He comes over to the house, and he thinks it's his house. He's like, oh, my darling, how are you doing? He's in his underpants. I'm like, Dad.
No, you
this is your daughter-in-law. She's not, you can't be scratching in your ass here. No. I promise you, my father scratches his ass so much. As a child, I grew up smelling ass so much. When I smell my fingers in the morning, I think it's Father's Day. I promise you. It's like popcorn. You know when you smell popcorn and it's you feel like, oh, cinema? I smell bum, I go, I must call Daddy.
Oh, my God. All right, now, you know Slouch. You've already got a whole bunch of Comics Choice Awards, right?
I mean, yeah, nominations.
Bullshit. Jesus. Listen, I've heard.
Fuck,
you've already got five.
Nominations.
Savannah's Comics Choice Awards. Five nominations.
I'm so good at losing.
I thought you already had the... Who did you lose to?
Fuck, so many people. Skulk.
Really?
Yeah, Skulk. But you know, some days when you lose, you go, oh, fuck, Skulk's amazing.
Mm.
But other days you lose, you go, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, you cross about it.
Yeah, yeah. I can't even remember. Blocked out some of those guys that no one cares about anymore. It's 5 years ago.
Well, maybe this show is what you need to kind of to crack that, you know? Yeah. Get ahead of everybody else.
You got to, you know,
push
I
them out of the way. Like that
cripple kid.
Asshole kid.
Yeah. You know what you like is, like, I do realize, and it's a cliche, I fucking love winning. So when I go there and I lose, I fucking hate it, but I have to pretend the whole night. The 1 year I was like, fuck this, I'm not pretending. That bro was shit. And I should have gotten
that.
It's
like at the Oscars when they give the award and then they show the other women. I don't know why they do that.
No.
Because
now you have to look.
I know they're actresses and part of their life is pretending, but that is a mean thing to make them pretend in that moment.
Oh, it's
because
terrible.
They've all arrived hoping they're going to walk away with that award. And then they show the other four or five women. And you could just see they're miserable.
Bring that camera past you with that boom and you can feel it on you. And I know how to pretend, but my wife does not pretend, bro.
She's cross.
She's demure. And she's like, what the fuck?
Why you've been cheated.
Yeah, it's always like that. You've been cheated.
Absolutely.
1 year I've got two nominations and didn't win.
Shame, man. That happens, sucks. Well, this is going to be your year.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope this is the show that makes it happen.
Yeah.
It's all starting tomorrow, and there are two shows on a Sunday. So you're going to be working your backside off.
There's two shows on a Saturday, one show on a Sunday. I'm doing one Afrikaans show.
Sorry, I got that wrong. So
I've got one Afrikaans
show
as well.
One on a Sunday. One Afrikaans show.
Yes, I'm doing an Afrikaans version because I'm Afrikaans boy.
Sure.
And there's a very big part of my audience that's Afrikaans. So I was like, no, let's do an Afrikaans show. So
just
I'm doing
for them.
It 7 July at 4 o'clock. And those tickets aren't on CompuTicket. It's at info@wack.co.za. But
I bet you those will sell out.
I hope so.
Yeah,
because Afrikaans comedy, my comedy and my, like, it's like my vernac. It's so good. You know what I mean? It's
some
so much,
things you can only say in Afrikaans.
Absolutely.
Right?
Especially like dirty things.
Oh. All right, so here he is, Alfred Odrow. You can go and watch him at Peter Tureen's Theatre at Monte Cassino from June 27th until the 8th of July.
That's right.
And go along. It's called Dating Life. Book your tickets now. Don't be one of those people who sits there and goes, oh, we should have seen him. Because this, you know, one day when he's got his own American TV show, which is bound to happen, you know, everybody thinks that's the trajectory.
It's definitely coming.
Then everybody's going to say, oh, I saw him in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, very nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun. I will say this. It was the most fun I've had because I could just say whatever I wanted to.
Yeah, you're allowed to here. Isn't that nice?
Fantastic.
That's how it's meant to be.
That's exactly.
And dude, you come back and visit us sometime soon, and we'll find out how the shows go and what else.
You should
else
all come to the show, guys. Please.
You know the problem with me is
you don't go out the house.
Nah,
I know.
Not really.
I've heard this.
It's very boring, and I wish it was different. But
it's gonna be on. It's gonna almost hit a channel's name, but it's gonna be on TV. You can watch it.
No, it's going on TV.
Yeah, yeah. I'm shooting it on the 7th in Afrikaans and English. One
so this
Afrikaans
is a
channel in one. Yeah,
this is like it's like your HBO special. This.
Yeah, I'm doing the thing.
I like it, dude. Very,
thank you,
very
sir.
Nice. All right, very good. We'll catch up with you again very soon. And in the meantime, good luck. We're going to get to Katie Katapotis. She's coming in next. We're going to talk to her about the incredible career that she's had at Prime Media Broadcasting. She's stepping down as Eyewitness News Editor at the end of July after 21 years.
Wow.
Yeah, how's that, huh?
That's crazy.
That's quite something. Mm. So we'll find out from Katie what's next on the agenda. You know, she's got a lot going on in her life, so it's not as if this is the only thing that she's got to keep her busy, but it's been a huge part of her life for 21 years. First, let's get into the un-news for this morning. These are the stories you need to know about. Another ruling on whether or not Patricia DeLille will remain in the DA gets delivered tomorrow. At this stage of the game, DeLille doesn't really care, but the DA are focusing on making this one stick. Musi Maimane has unfollowed her on all social media and is hoping that his leadership move will send out a clear message to her that her time in the party is over. Zimbabweans are picking up the pieces from Sunday's bomb blast involving President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Robert Mugabe was quick to say that this never happened when he was in charge. It's mostly because everyone is too scared of grace to do anything like this. And finally, VAR is causing a hell of a stir at the World Cup. Many pundits are saying it's ruining the play, especially in tense moments. But Vladimir Putin is actually a fan, mostly because he and Sepp Blatter are actually running VAR for shits and giggles, and they say it's even more fun than FIFA on PlayStation. So now you know. Those are the main stories in the news. Katie Katapotis next, cliffcentral.com.
This is cliffcentral.com.